This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan provide signature support. Your number 877-217-5757. Please send us an email if you're so inclined to talk@talklouisiana.org. We'd like to hear from you. This is day two of the Spring Member Fest. Your number is 855-893-9753 to show your support for WRKF. And WRKF's Board of Directors will give $50 for every donation that comes in by 10 o'clock this morning. So if you make a donation, another $50 will come from the Board of Directors, 855-893-9753. We're joined to begin our show today by Dr. Sean Wilson, the Secretary of the Department of Transportation and Development, named by Governor Edwards to this post the day that the governor was inaugurated, January 11th, 2016, after a decade of executive service at DOTD. Dr. Wilson's known as a tireless advocate for making our highways and byways better places, and better roadways and bridges, and he's doing his best, but there are some obstacles, as we know, and one of the big obstacles is money. And Dr. Wilson, let's start there. How's it looking as far as the financing necessary to keep us where we should be and make us better as far as getting to and from where we need to go?
Well, good morning, Jim, and thanks for having me in the studio this morning. Great question. We always talk about money and the needs of infrastructure. I will tell you that this administration, this governor, has been 110% committed to infrastructure. There's never enough money to go around, but we've never had a need that wasn't met. And so I am super excited to have administered the department over these last 5 years and done well with that. A third of capital outlay has come to us for infrastructure. And we've also been able to be innovative and creative with funding projects. And so, you know, there's a formula that we use where we've received what's called redistribution. And over the years since this has been in process, the state has received about $500 million in redistribution over the last 20 years. But in the last 5 years, we have received more than half of that. So we have demonstrated an ability to deliver projects and to meet our financial obligations to do so. We've also been creative with public-private partnerships, as well as Garvey bonds, to deliver big,
$650 million.
And what I like about it, Jim, is it's not just spending money. It's doing the projects that we've talked about for decades that we needed to do. And so on one hand, you'd love to be secretary and governor and create your own priorities and go do. But we've saw fit to do what the citizens have always said we needed to do. And so that's the business that we're in, is delivering the infrastructure that we need and that we know works.
877-217-5757 for Dr. Sean Wilson, Secretary of the Department of Transportation and Development, now for over 5 years, going on 6 years. And under his leadership, DOTD's not only received $650 million in Garvey bonds, but also $150 million in additional federal money for the I-10 widening from I-49 to New Orleans and for the Baton Rouge I-10 bottleneck and some other projects as well. As you know, there is a bill in the hopper now. Representative McFarland is pushing it. He's trying to get some additional tax dollars. We haven't really had a increase in transportation taxes since 1990.
That's correct.
30 years ago. There are some obstacles, as we know, in the legislature, as Steve Carter found out, the late Steve Carter. But how's it looking this go around?
So, you know, in full disclosure, we're not necessarily driving that agenda. I think the world of Representative McFarland, he is in the industry of trucking, and so he's a user and a consumer of our roads like all of our citizens are. And so we have some fundamental disagreements about the process and about the structure of the bill, but I think there's an agreement in that we need to do something. And so, you know, having supported the gas tax in 2017 very aggressively, I think that was a signature year for us, as a signature opportunity, and it was the best policy going forward. And so, you know, we'd love to continue working with the representative to try and put sustainable policies in place that we know work, and not to put ourselves in a position to not be as successful as we can be.
Now, part of his bill, as it stands right now, and of course these things often get tweaked as they move along in the process, would take some money from your department. Is that fair?
You know, it's I dare not call it unfair because the legislature makes those decisions. I might say it's unwise because when you really get into the meat and potatoes and the structure of our building and our government and our business, that operations budget is something that we cannot use federal funds, and it would hamstring us. And it's no different than and these are conversations I've had with the representatives. It's no different than telling a private business owner, you can no longer meet your obligations of your employees, and you're going to cap those expenses forever at X, whatever X is. And so the reality is, when I look at the ice storm that we just saw, when I look at the massive hurricanes that we see, all of that gets covered with those operational costs. And also in those operational costs are day-to-day work of the department, mowing, litter, cycles of signals, you name it. And so I don't agree with that. I think that would be a step in the wrong direction, and it would force us to start to cannibalize the human resource. And we've been very efficient, Jim. I tell you, when I got to the department 15 years ago, we had over 5,000 employees. Today we're at 4,200 employees. That's the number of employees.
So you've cut that'd be what, 16%?
We've done significant reductions, and the what hasn't reduced is the amount of work. That's actually increased. The responsibilities have increased. The ability to do the things that we know are necessary, those things have all been there. And everything in our business rises with inflation. Every piece of equipment, every material, everything we buy has increased. Inflation on construction is about 2.5% a year. And so for us to consider the fact that we don't apply that inflation to us, you know, I just don't think that's the right decision. And I've also worked with our employees, and I've actually been under bridges on projects, on equipment. Many of our folks are making bare minimum wages in some cases. And to cap that and expect us to continue to deliver the level of service that we have, I think is just not the right direction.
877-217-5757 for Dr. Sean Wilson, Secretary of DOTD for 5.5 years. Helen in Mid-City. Helen, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi.
Good morning, Jim and Dr. Wilson. How are y'all today?
Fine. Well, how are you?
Good. Dr. Wilson, I've watched you over the last 5 years, and you've really moved the needle and represented our state very well on the national stage. With this being the governor's last term, what's next for you? Have you considered running for office?
Thank you, Helen. That's an interesting question. You know, you are correct that I've done some really good things on the national stage. And, you know, interestingly enough, I'll be the first African-American and the first Louisiana secretary ever to be president of the American Association of State Highway Transportation Officials. And I've committed myself to this job and doing that. And so you are correct. At some point, I'll have to think about what's next. I don't know that that's today, but I appreciate your compliment. And to answer your specific question, of course you think about those things. Anyone in government probably should. And something's wrong, I think, if you don't think about your next move and higher levels of service. I've often said that public service is a ministry for me, and it's what we do. I enjoy it, but those are some big decisions. You know, public service is not as fun as it used to be.
You've run before, haven't you?
I did. I ran for city council. One of the best things is that I did not win. My family enjoyed that run. I enjoyed that run. I was able to make a difference, I think, in that discussion. And I've also learned that I've been able to have a bigger impact in this position than I would have as city council. So, you know, there's an opportunity to think about those things. I'm not sure that that's the day, Helen, but I do appreciate the compliment.
And quite often, politicians don't succeed the first go around. Look at John Neely Kennedy. He lost his first race for attorney general, lost twice for the U.S. Senate, but now he is U.S. Senator John Neely Kennedy. Richard at Whole Foods. Richard, you're on with Sean Wilson. Hi, Richard.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm curious, what about the Sunshine Bridge to Highway Interstate 10 on that side of the river? I understand that you only have about 20 miles of roadway that's not four lane. So if you could have people exit I-10, go through the Donaldsonville type area, and hit I-10, bypass Baton Rouge. That would help open up Baton Rouge where it wouldn't be so clogged. What about, and I understand it would cost about $200 or $300 million.
All right, what about it?
So, very good question. You're talking about four-laning LA-70, and I'll just make one comment that I can't officially say. Just hang on. I think you'll be hearing an announcement in the near future about a commitment to do that. That is a project that every industry that's looked at Louisiana, going as far back as ThyssenKrupp with Governor Blanco and all of the other industries that are in that stretch all talk about widening that, and we've not been successful at doing that. But as I said in my opening statement, we've done things that we've talked about for a number of years, and that's something that's on my list, and I think that's something you'll hear about pretty soon. And if you go down 22, you actually see what is a really successful project, which is a roundabout with some R cuts. It's making it safe and more efficient.
877-217-5757 for Dr. Sean Wilson. We'll take a 90-second pause and return with more Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Katie Ann McDonald is producing, and a reminder that this is day two of the Spring Member Fest. Thank you to Timothy Slack, and we're a couple of gifts away from adding another $100 from the Lanyap Fund, and a board bump this morning, $50 for all gifts and all amounts. So please give us a call, 855-893-9753, and you can invest in the community by becoming a member of WRKF, which has stood tall and proud on your dial, a beacon of light at 89.3 for 41 years. Sean Wilson is with us. He's been Secretary of the Department of Transportation and Development for more than 5 years. I'm sure he'll be the secretary until the end of John Bel Edwards' term, unless he runs for office, but that probably won't happen in the next few years, but it quite likely will happen sometime at some point. But he's got his hands full. This is a serious situation we're in. He's doing his best, but has one hand tied behind his back. Yeah. It's difficult to do anything well without the money to do it, and he is here to talk about ways to do it with a shoestring budget.
You know, Jim, the other thing I'll tell you is this isn't unique to Louisiana. Over 30 states have made adjustments in their revenue. And nationally, there's a really robust discussion happening. President Biden and Vice President Harris are aggressively moving in the direction of infrastructure. And once we get past the American recovery effort for COVID, I believe their next big issue is going to be investing in infrastructure across the country. And it's not just roads and bridges. It's public utilities, it's schools, you name it. It's protecting our waterways. And they have a very aggressive agenda that involves climate change. It involves equity, economic opportunity, and safety. And all of those are factors that are relevant here in Louisiana. And so I think there's going to be a robust discussion that will help catapult us forward.
Dr. Wilson, by the way, earned a BA in Urban and Regional Planning from the University of Louisiana. He holds a Master of Public Administration degree, a PhD in Public Policy from the Nelson Mandela School at Southern University. Mon, I think Katie Ann says it's Mon. Let's see if she got it right. Mon in Mid-City, you're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Mon.
Oh, good morning, guys. First-time callers. Very excited. So my question is about federal government funding versus state. What would happen if the federal government increases investment in transportation in a major way? Will Louisiana be able to match the fund with only our transportation trust fund?
All right. Thank you, Mon. What about matching federal dollars?
So, you know, it's an interesting question. We have never been unable to match federal funds. And in fact, the idea that we were able to bring in over $250 million additional dollars, as well as discretionary competitions where we have to provide additional match, we've never been able to not do that. So the good thing is that we've always had enough. And we took a huge hit in the TTF in terms of traffic when we hit COVID. But we're pretty much back to where we were in terms of average daily traffic. I know the governor's commitment is that if they are to pass a bill and it requires additional money, we will take the necessary steps to ensure that we will always be able to take advantage of federal funds. And remember, the money that they're sending us is money that we send back to Washington. And so there is no doubt that we will be able to always match federal funds.
877-217-5757 to get in with Sean Wilson in our remaining time with the Secretary of Transportation, Stewart Downtown. Stewart, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Thank you, Jim, Dr. Wilson, and the audience. Good morning. Dr. Wilson, have you considered conducting a study to share with the average Louisiana citizen what savings they may accrue by repairing the roads and the highways in Louisiana and to potentially offset their lack of desire to want to pass a tax? And how has COVID negatively impacted your agency?
So I will tell you, we've lost a couple of folks, four people exactly, to COVID. I had COVID exactly about a year ago.
Right at the beginning.
Was one of the early, I was the first one in Lafayette. It's not a claim to fame I enjoy, but I was the first COVID case in Lafayette, actually. So it has impacted us. It's impacted us in terms of the bottom line because we get revenue when people drive, and when no one was driving, our funding dropped. And so we are recovered from that aspect of it. But it has changed us because we have to social distance. And when you put three or four people in the truck to go change a signal head or put up a guardrail, those are complications. In fact, in the ice storm, fighting the ice storm, we had a spike in a situation where we had four positives and 12 people have to quarantine. And so that does impact the work that we have to do. The first part of your question was, have we ever studied the savings that one would get from managing or investing in infrastructure? And we do know that there will be some savings that you get by having better roads in terms of vehicle maintenance, in terms of saving you time, by congestion. The reality is that we have evaded the issue of investing in infrastructure for 30-plus years, as Jim said earlier. And so we've got a lot of catching up to do. And so, you know, it's a neat way to say, yeah, you will save some money. But by the same token, we don't spend. The average driver spends about $120 a year on gas taxes. And my phone bill, my cell phone bill for my family is more than that a month. And so you're right. You'll save a little bit by investing in infrastructure, but it's the long haul that you need to look at.
David in Atlanta. Hi, David. You're on with Sean Wilson.
Good morning, gentlemen. Dr. Wilson, what is being done to have charging stations in Louisiana for electric vehicles like Blink Charging to promote more use of electric vehicles, given that Louisiana has more to lose than any other state in the nation when it comes to climate change?
Very good question. So we are engaged in that discussion. We are part of the governor's climate change initiative. And in fact, we have in our budget funding for electric charging stations as a result of the federal investment that we saw at the end of the year. But before that, we actually created what is an alternative fuels corridor that looked at multiple alternatives for fueling, whether it's gas, natural gas, or electric charging stations. And so we were one of the early states to jump on board with providing that infrastructure. That's another long-term commitment that we have to make. I don't think that it's going to be all electric. One-half of 1% of the cars that are on the road around the country are electric right now. But you have to build the infrastructure. I think it has to deal with the private sector. I think it's going to be the state. And I would love to see the evolution of the public fleet. And we've looked at data. I had a presentation about a week and a half ago. There's over about 80,000 vehicles in the state of Louisiana that are publicly owned vehicles. And if we converted those to alternative fuels, that will become a major staple in developing the infrastructure needed to provide that to the citizens, as well as other things like UPS, FedEx, other last-mile type vehicles. But we've got to start somewhere, and it's going to start with making that investment, but more importantly, making the commitment to do something different than what we've done in the past.
Mike in Lafayette. Mike, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Yes, Dr. Wilson, you told the League of Women Voters here in Lafayette a couple of years ago you saw no reason to give a voice to opponents of projects during public meetings, and you continued the policy that the public can't speak during committee meetings or give input.
Well, I would say that's not true. I've never said that that we should discourage folks from expressing their opinion. And in fact, I pride myself on listening and hearing those opinions. I also will tell you that through the federal requirements of NEPA and the public engagement process, we have to have that engagement. And we not only take it, we document it and report it back to you. And that's one of the reasons people complain about projects taking so long, because we engage the public. Whether it's the I-49 project or the I-10 project in Baton Rouge, you name it, I'm typically at those public meetings, not all of them, but for these major signature mm-hmm. projects, I make it a point to go, and I'm usually the last one to leave. And so it's not as though I support that approach of not hearing the public, because we work for you and we need your input.
Mark on Highland. Mark, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Where are we with our loop around Baton Rouge? That's one of those long-term projects we keep hearing about.
What about the loop around Baton Rouge?
The loop around Baton Rouge is a multi-billion-dollar endeavor. Many of the governments in that area that would have been impacted spoke out against it and chose not to advance it. The other commitment we made was widening the interstate through Baton Rouge, not just in this administration, but previous ones. So there goes your loop challenge.
877-217-5757. A few more minutes with Sean Wilson when we return after the news. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. In just a few moments, we're going to hear from the incomparable Andre Codrescu, many years a commentator on NPR, and of course, for a few decades, professor of note at Louisiana State University. We're wrapping it up with Sean Wilson, Department of Transportation and Development Secretary. Again, this is the Spring Memberfest Day 2. We would like to hear from you. If you like the programming you're hearing, please give us a call, 855-893-9753. And the number for Talk Louisiana is 877-217-5757. Listener notes about your commute. We've talked about this before. You travel from Lafayette
every morning.
Every
morning.
And that's a treacherous drive at times.
You know, it's about a 50-minute ride, Jim. And I tell you, it's one of the most beautiful rides in the state going across the basin. And I try to not get on the phone or do anything other than pay attention to what's out there until I get off on the Gross Tet exit. And then I usually get off the phone when I get back on at the Gross Tet exit, so I can enjoy nature and the view and the ducks and just the trees. It's a beautiful, beautiful ride, except when there's a wreck and there's congestion.
Then it's a challenge.
Yeah.
Philip Gould, one of your neighbors, says he's curious what the current status is for the I-49 connector in Lafayette.
I-49 connector, Philip, is moving forward through the context-sensitive solution. And, you know, again, contrary to one of those earlier calls that said we don't welcome public engagement, this project was delayed, or the discussion was delayed, because the public wanted something different. And we heard those calls, and we are advancing a project. And if you go online to the I-49 connector site, you can see some of the ideas and things that are floating in that process. We expect to come to a solution to get our record of decision, our supplemental update, and then we will proceed to building that in phases like we do other major projects.
All right. Jacqueline in Breaux Bridge asked whether on this bill from Representative McFarland, are you neutral or are you against?
I'm interested in seeing a much better policy. And much like the governor said, the timing is very difficult given the larger issues of government and the financial piece. And so, you know, I will not be against investment in infrastructure, because that is necessary and we supported that. But I am against bad policy. I'm against having something that is not sustainable. And I'm against making commitments of things that we know we can't deliver.
Thank you. Dr. Sean Wilson, let's do it again soon.
Thank you, Jim. I enjoyed it.
You're a good man and doing good work. Thank you, my friend.